Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
This is not telling us how to get to heaven or how to get to hell. This is saying, you, born again child of God, how do you plan on living in the kingdom right now? His charge to you is, are you going to walk the straight and narrow and live and lay hold on eternal life right now? Are you going to destroy your life by not following the Lord?
Today's edition of Triumphal Feast concludes the message, Don't Be a Blockhead. This message has been summarizing our Savior's Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Today's message will begin with the model prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15.
The model prayer, verses 5 through 15. Give us this day our daily bread teaches us this. Pray every day. Paul says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we have to have our eyes closed and our head bowed all of the time, because brethren, you couldn't get anything done. Jesus and Paul are both saying that prayer needs to be the essential part of your life. And above all, prayer, doesn't he say? We need to be praying continually in our lives. And again, don't make a show of it. Okay? I'm going to put it to you plainly. I'm going to put it to you very, very plainly. A person that forces everybody else in the room to move away so that they can face the setting sun and lay down a carpet and throw themselves down on it is making a show of prayer. That's a Muslim practice, and it's wrong. That's exactly the thing that Jesus was talking about. He's not telling us don't ever be seen praying. What he is saying is don't try to make yourself look more righteous than others when you pray. Brethren, you've got one person between you and the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray in His name. And brethren, use the name, not just the phrase, His name. Jesus, that is the sweetest name on mortal tongue. Let's say it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of offending somebody else if they happen to hear you. They're offended at the name of the Lord. And the Lord will take care of that. Don't you worry about it. But to be purposely seen praying, the Lord doesn't honor those prayers, even though the Lord's name is invoked. So, if I'm invoking the Lord's name, then obviously He's hearing it. Really? Anybody remember the seven sons of Sceva? They heard Paul using the Lord's name, so they put Jesus' name in their incantations to try and drive out a devil. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And that one man whipped seven of them. And by whipped, I don't mean slapped them around a little bit. I mean tore them up. But they used the Lord's name. Doesn't matter. It was their motivation. Have the proper motivation to pray. Don't use somebody else's prayers. The Lord's not interested in vain repetitions. And I'm not just talking about a book of common prayer. I'm talking about if in our prayers we start quoting old Baptists from 50 years ago and don't pray what's truly on our hearts, brethren, we've made a mistake. We need to pray our own words from our own hearts for our own needs. Get to the point. Because the Lord knows what you need before you ask. As the story goes, the old sister came up to the preacher after his 15-minute prayer. And she says, boy, call him daddy and ask him for something. That's prayer. Ask for what you need. Thank him for what you have been given. That ought to be the hallmark of our prayers, is thankfulness. Our prayers should honor the Lord for his majesty. We should not use casual language like he is our best friend walking down the street. We are praying to the King of Glory. He has called us friends. He gave us that privilege. But we're not to treat him like a regular old friend or acquaintance. He's the King. Pray that God's will be done on earth. And when you're praying that you be reconciled to that. Pray for forgiveness. Pray to be led away from temptation and the devil. That's that active avoiding of temptation. Is praying, Lord, give me something to do so I'm not tempted. And then the only thing that he explains from his model prayer is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. He says this plainly. If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive. Doesn't mean you're going to hell, but folks, it's going to feel like it. If the Lord doesn't forgive you here in time, it's a miserable feeling. So forgive. Move on. Verses 16 through 18 talks about fasting. We fast to draw closer to God and to discern His will. Again, don't do it to be seen more holy than others. Don't make an announcement. I'm fasting during lunch today if anybody wants to come fast with me. Kind of defeats the purpose. It's between you and the Lord. 19 through 23. Don't worry about collecting material wealth and things. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Everything that you can see is made up of elements. And everything other than human beings will melt with a fervent heat. It's all temporary. You can't take it with you. Treasure eternal things like love and fellowship and grace and mercy and peace. Those are the things that we should focus for. Verses 24 through 34. Don't try to hold the world in one hand and God in the other. Jesus is basically saying, if you try to serve the Lord and you try to serve man at the same time, which is love of money, mammon. If you try to serve the Lord and you try to serve the world at the same time, there is no gray area. You are serving the world. W-O-R-L-D, blockhead. If you think you're doing both, Jesus is saying you can't do both. So if you can't do both, that means you're only doing one. And it's the wrong one. We got to watch that. Don't worry about natural possessions, even food and clothing. Seek to do God's will in His kingdom first, and He will provide your daily needs. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Don't try to decide who's a child of God and who is not. That's what he means by judge not lest ye be judged. He's not saying don't correct bad behavior. He's not saying there is no moral standard. Everybody can do everything that they want to do, because he just went all over the Pharisees for their practices. He's not going to turn around and say, oh, just live your life and let others live their life. What he is talking about is when you go to work with them, you are not judging their standing before God. Judgment of that kind is only in the mind of the Son, who has the names of the elect written in the palms of His hands and their names written in a book that only He can open. So don't try to decide, because you'll probably be wrong. Remember, your sin is just as bad as the other guy. That's how I would sum that up. Say, well, I don't do this. If we ever have that attitude, that we've decided that there's a sin that's worse than the sin that we're committing. Wow! We are in no condition to help anybody. If the only sin you ever committed was running a stop sign contrary to the laws of the land, when the Lord said to follow the laws of the land, you would deserve hell. For one sin. Sin is sin. We need to try and get it out of our lives. Verse 6, if you've tried to help someone and they refuse, move on. You're free from that. You don't have to dwell on it. And in particular, you don't have to say, well, obviously, they weren't a child of God because they would have repented. Really? Really? Somebody go look that has that attitude about it. Go look at the end of Solomon's life. Go look at the end of Samson's life. What were Samson's last words on this earth? A prayer for revenge for his eyes. That's not real God honoring, is it? Let's be careful. If we instruct somebody and they don't listen, don't cast your pearls. Don't waste precious things on people that don't want to listen. Just move on and forget about it. But don't judge them in that way. Verses 7 through 12. Ask God for the things you need. If it is a true need, He's going to give it in His time. Say, well, I asked, and the Lord didn't give it to me. How many times did you ask? Once. Perhaps the Lord is wanting you to learn patience along with getting the new job so you know where the job came from. Perhaps the Lord is wanting to learn patience and trust in Him when you think you need more, when really all you need is to trust Him more. Ask God for the things you need. Ask God to help you repent so that you can be helpful to others. And then treat others like you want to be treated. Don't treat them like they treat you. You know, people will say, I'll respect you if you respect me. Is that Bible? No, I'll respect you regardless of how you treat me. That's Bible. That's Christianity. Because if the Lord had only respect to those that would follow Him, He wouldn't have died for anybody. Are you with me? Verses 13 through 14 of chapter 7. This is not telling us how to get to heaven or how to get to hell. This is saying, you, born again child of God, how do you plan on living in the kingdom right now? His charge to you is, are you going to walk the straight and narrow and live and lay hold on eternal life right now? Are you going to destroy your life by not following the Lord? Bringing misery upon misery. Choose the way of the world, you're going to have trouble. Choose the path of the Lord. That's a path that He knows. Because He's walking it now, He's familiar with it, and He's actively loving those, and they can see it when they're in that path with Him. He has a warning then in verses 15 through 23 of false teachers. As He's closing out His sermon, He says, avoid those that look good, but they're not sent from God. And He says, here's how you're going to know them. If the message they preach is not God-honoring, and brings about people, their disciples, that don't honor the Lord, they're probably not sent of God. Now that doesn't mean every single person that hears a sermon is going to do the right thing. If so, there's a lot of things that would be different even in this church. It says, but you can tell by the fruit of their life and the fruit of their ministry. If they're living a wicked life, it doesn't matter what they preach. If the people around them are continuing to live in sin, impenitent about it, not caring, the fruit of his ministry is not changing people's lives. Be careful. Now, if the man warns them and they don't change, that's not a false prophet. A false prophet is one that doesn't warn, that just lets people do things. A false prophet is more worried about his reputation and what people think about him than he is about honoring the Lord. How did most of the world view the man Elijah? They didn't like him very much. Jezebel couldn't kill him alone. There were a lot of people that hated Elijah just like her, just like she did. Most false prophets aren't that way. True minister of God's going to have those that don't care too much for him. And that's probably a good thing. It means he's probably said the right thing, even though it was hard. He's instructed when he needed to. Then he says, plain and simple, God's going to judge those that are the false prophets. Don't you worry about them. Just stay away from them. Even if they use the name of the Lord and say, I. That's what they say. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I never loved you, never had any care for you. I've hated you all along. And the fact that you're claiming what you have done rather than what the Lord has done is proof of who you are. Jesus had already delivered his charge when he talks about the straight gate and the narrow way. But he gives conclusion to his sermon with a little stinger. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. That's an example that we can all see and clearly understand. But here's the key. The wise man is not the churchgoer, and the foolish man the person that doesn't go to church. Both of these men have gone to church. Both of them have heard the word of the Lord. Both of them listened to the sermon. But as James says, it's not the hearer, but the doer that's justified. Jesus puts it more plainly. He says, those that hear and do, they're going to have a blessed life that will withstand troubles and trials, and they're not bringing calamity upon themselves. Those that hear and don't do, that's the casual churchgoer. The one that doesn't apply. It's Charlie Brown. Builds his house without any foundation. And the slightest thing happens, the house comes crashing down. I've had it happen in my own life. I've seen it in the lives that have come to me for help saying, how did this happen? And one of the first things I said to them, well, how long has it been since you've been to church? Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going to put it to you plainly. You can't do if you haven't heard. That's the easy part. The easy part of building on a good foundation is coming to church so that you can hear, so that you know what to do. See, very often people just want us to feel sorry for them and say, you did okay. Let's try to do a little bit better. You know, people get offended at me sometimes because I'm very plain when I instruct. Is the Lord any... He's more plain than I am, isn't he? He calls you a blockhead. I've never done that to any of you, have I? Maybe to get your attention. But the Lord says, that's basically what you're doing. I even changed it to Charlie Brown so it wouldn't hurt so bad. You know, because Charlie Brown's endearing to all of us. Why? Because we all do Charlie Brown sometimes. What Jesus is teaching us is if you want to live that overcoming life, if you want to live like the more than conqueror you are. And he said, just do the things that I've said to you. And honestly, folks, what did he leave out of his sermon? He talked about the elements of grace, and he talked about the proper response to them. What else is there? He said, well, it's too difficult. The Bible's too long. Well, read these three chapters. It's not that much. And somebody said, well, that's too much to remember. Well, he boiled it down to 10 of them. Well, that's still too much to remember. Well, he boiled it down to what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. He boiled it down to love the Lord and love others. Do those things. Well, I like to do love the Lord first, love others right there with it, and then be concerned about yourself. Well, I like to do no. Well, it'll be okay if I just do this for myself first, and then I do church stuff. You know, there was a time when the children of Israel were settling Canaan's land. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, you live in sealed houses, and there is no house for the Lord. Was that a good thing he was telling them? No. They had thought about themselves rather than the congregation of the Lord first. Give of yourself to the church, because it's got others like you in it that need your help, that need your time, that sometimes need your money. And by the way, it's not yours, because you're bought with a price. And if you're bought with a price, that means you're owned by somebody else. That means everything you think you own is owned by your owner, the Lord.
Victorious God, what can we pray for?
This episode concludes the message, Don't Be a Blockhead. Please visit us at bhpbc.org or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes as we begin the series All In for the Lord, starting with our next episode of Triumphal Feast. Until then, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.